short listen to this piece of history.
A paradise of poor lighting and faux wood paneling.
That's sexist!
Then take a unicycle down memory lane.
This is quality broadcasting right here.
Is this scripted? I don't know what's going on here.
Oh, the humanity.
David M. Green.
I'm your number one fan.
I'm your number one fan, David.
Yeah, whatever.
Using his sound engineering skills acquired through the long nights panelling brain damage.
Who is this?
His name is David M. Green, and he's in Australia, of all places. And he does a show called
David M. Green's Summer Powwow.
Well, that's what I thought. Okay.
What show is it?
Can I have the gravy levels, please, Mum?
You've telephoned Adam, and I'm the host of the hit radio show, Adam. I'm sorry, but I'm unable to take your call at the moment. If you'd be so kind as to leave your name and your return telephone number, I'll get back to you faster than a thirsty gentleman drinking a lemon lime bitter on a warm summer evening. Thank you very much.
Oh, I don't believe this. Come on, Adam, pick up the phone. I know you're there.
Well, hello there, Dave Green. To what do I owe this pleasure?
That's David M. Green. I'm stuck at the Adelaide Airport parking lot.
Oh, decided to partake in a little aircraft spotting instead of doing your show?
I just got back from interviewing Charles Grodin in New York, and I was about to drive to Radio Adelaide to do my show when I discovered that somebody had slashed my tyres.
Oh dear. Pick me some apricots because you're in a jam. Now who would go and do a nasty thing like that, I wonder?
Yeah, I wonder. But anyway, I'm obviously going to be a few minutes late to the radio station. I'm going to have to catch the bus there.
Well, why don't you get your famous friend Smitty to give you a lift?
Adam, Smitty's in a coma. He got run over trying to steal somebody's windscreen. Could you just find someone to fill in for me, please? Only for the start of the show. Only for the start of Powwow.
Now, Davey, we're both radio men here. I'm sure we can put our differences aside just this once.
Thank you.
Don't worry, your pretty little face. I'll find someone to cover for you.
Thanks, Adam. Oh, I think I see my bus. All right, bye.
Oh, well, I think I know the perfect replacement.
Live from the historic Radio Adelaide Studios on fabulous North Terrace, it's everybody's favourite radio compere, Adam.
Ahoy there, listener. My name's Adam, and I'll be filling in for your regularly scheduled program, David M. Green's Summer Powwow. It seems Mr. Green doesn't value the loyalty of his listeners much, does he? But enough about him. I'm certainly very glad I've got your company on this warm summer night here in Adelaide and the Silver City of Broken Hill. Coming up on Adam tonight, we're going to be talking about fruit trees. Do you have a fruit tree in your backyard? Well, if not, don't worry, because we'll be talking to someone who'd like them in your front yard. And of course, we'll be taking some of your calls on the subject too. You'll also be hearing about the time I helped out my good friend Orson Welles back in the 70s. Back in my younger days.
Oh, come on now, Adam, you're not that old.
Well, maybe not as old as you, old man Princey. Mike Princey, everybody, filling in for my regular producer, Gary. Also, later in the program, we'll be having a special political report from my good friend, the BBC's David Legg. And I'll be interviewing Colin Silverman, who's apparently breaking all the rules just by being here. I don't know what that's about, but I certainly can't wait. Stay tuned to Adam on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Let's have some smooth tunes to get things going. We'll be right back.
Adam.
Hello, girl, it's been a night go crazy.
Sensational. We're back from that lovely song, and I have to admit, I'm a bit of a sucker for the classics. You're listening to me, Adam, on Radio Adelaide 101.5. On the panel is everybody's favourite, Mike Princey. Good to have you with us, Mike.
Looking forward to a fantastic evening, Adam. I've got a hot mug of dandelion tea with me, and I am ready to go.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Yes, you've taken to this new role like a duck to water. Very much reminds me of my seamless transition from the Navy Orchestra to the local ragtime band in Unley.
I didn't know you were a musician.
Yes, Michael, I'm a capable practitioner of a big brass tuba. There's barely a sea shanty written that I'm yet to play.
Wow!
I'll tell you what, though, Michael, we'd be daft not to get chatting with our guest here in the studio right away, mainly because he's such a charismatic fellow. It's Dr. Tim Ray.
Hello, Adam. I'm quite enjoying this last-minute change of host. That David M. Green is always trying to be too much of a funny man.
Well, far be it from me to speculate on his character, Tim, but I caught a snippet of his show a fortnight ago, and between you and me, I think it was complete rubbish.
Couldn't agree more, Adam. It's good to see a pro with his hand on the rudder.
Preaching to the choir, Timothy. But let's get down to business then, shall we? You've come in tonight to discuss your passion. What's that all about?
Well, Adam, I'm mad about fruit trees. And I've got an idea that will change the way you think about your neighbourhood. Basically, I propose that everyone plant a fruit tree out the front of their house so that all who walk by can just help themselves to a tasty treat whenever they so desire. It would be heavenly, a true fruitopia, Adam. And I hope that before I die, I'll see street after street of apple, pear, plum orchards, you name it.
It's such an excellent idea because it's so simple, isn't it? Did you know, Tim, that I grew up on a peach plantation out east?
Really? No, I didn't.
Yes, it was a childhood untainted by the worries of big city life, Tim. It's where I formed my love of all things botanical, the sweet smells of peach wafting through my bedroom window every evening. It was a wholesome, simpler time. A young sandal-wearing lad such as myself was free to explore, expand his mind, and indulge in a bit of fantasy. A fecund, eternal spring to nurture the curious young man that I was.
Yes, I've heard the same stories from all kids who knew the joy of a peach farm. Imagine if we could bring that same feeling to all the kids in our cities who have never known such a world.
Well, what trees would you plant, Tim? What are your favourites?
Well, I'd have to say my favourite is the watermelon, Adam.
Ah, I can picture it now. Plump, juicy watermelons sagging from the tops of watermelon trees.
I also fancy the blackberry too, but I must confess, only because I love the taste of a sticky, sweet blackberry jam scone. But you got to get them while they're young.
Yes, the younger the better. Okay, Tim, we've got a couple of calls to take on the topic. Let's hear our first one. We've got Simon on the line. Hello, Simon.
Hello?
Yes, Simon?
Oh, yes. My name's Simon.
Yes, hello, Simon.
I was just calling because I wanted your advice on something to do with my childhood.
Okay, what is it in particular that you wanted to say?
Well, as a young boy, I grew up in an orchard. I was actually born there.
I see.
And it was very close to me, the area. And I always just hung around. And there was one time I was hanging around, and I had this dream. And I've had it since that time, where my uncle comes up behind me, and then everything goes blank. I can't remember. In the dream, I'm walking through, my uncle is close behind. He says, "Hey kid, look at this." And then blank. Everything goes blank, and I wake up screaming.
That sounds normal.
Yes.
It's the journey that every young child takes through. Through the maze of childhood, really. I mean,
of course.
I had a similar uncle. He was my father. Are you understanding what I'm saying here, Simon?
Not really. I mean, if I'm to progress and evolve, if you will, I want to remember exactly what has happened after that point, because it's all a blank. I don't remember a thing.
Well, since my recent conversion to Scientology, I've heard that drugs are not the way to go.
Yeah.
I think repression or maybe some sort of therapy will solve your memory problem here. I also hear you can get some good pills.
Right. Well, I have tried drugs before, but it didn't work out well for me.
Have you heard about a man named L. Ron Hubbard?
L. Ron? No. Who is this?
No, I'm not L. Ron Hubbard. Have you heard about him?
Oh.
Yes, he's a fantastic man. Maybe you should, well, read some of his books and you tell me if that fixes the problem, all right?
Actually, I can't read. Every time I read a book, I scream. That's another one of the problems I wanted to tell you about. Because in the orchard, I was reading a book at the time.
Okay, this reading problem is perhaps out of my league. You might need to seek some other help there, Simon. There's a great book you can get about that, so I'll get my producer to pass you on the name of that book, and we'll talk to you later, Simon.
Fantastic. I think everything's going to be all right.
Yes, bye, Simon.
Thank you.
Yes, I mean, Simon, your story reminds me of my own very own personal story. It's close to my heart, for you see, I learned so much about my own life in the peach orchard back home. Now, the local village boys would often traverse the valley behind the orchard to hide and play amongst the trees. And one day, I happened to meet with Esteban, who was a very handsome young lad from the other school. He was very special to me, and we began to meet with some regularity after the first encounter. Nestled it away, discovering ourselves while lying on the grass covered with peach stones. All right, next caller.
Hello, Adam. This is Christian.
Excellent.
Adam, tell me, what is your passion?
Well, shipping and all sorts of sailing, really. I once owned a catamaran in the Adriatic Sea. Fond memories. What is your passion, Christian?
Adam, let me tell you, the finest way for a man to spend his time is by collecting the fruits of the trees of the forest. Specifically, I'm talking about the pine trees and the pine cones. Do you follow me, Adam?
Yes, yes, very much so. I mean, are you speaking metaphorically, or collecting the fruits?
No, I am speaking quite literally. You can collect them from the ground, or you can pull them from the tree. You can hold them in your hand. You can begin to pluck away the individual...
What kind of feelings do you feel when you do this, Christian? I mean, what makes it so special for you?
Let me tell you that a number of gentlemen of my age and I have started an appreciation society where we can discuss our feelings for these fruits of the pine tree. We can discuss the emotions that they inspire within our minds and within our bodies, and it is an incredible way for an elderly man such as myself to enjoy the last years of my life.
So the winter of your life. Now, you're saying you like crafts. What do you make out of the pine cones?
There are a great many things you can do with them. You can... Well, where to start, Adam? Where to start? When you insert the pine cone in your urethra, it feels like nothing else.
Thanks, Christian. I mean, it takes all sorts, doesn't it, folks? I mean, he's certainly a favourite of the show, our Christian. Tim, is there anything else you'd like to say? We're coming to the end of our segment.
No, just to say that it's been a divine pleasure, Adam.
Well, that's what they all say. We'll catch you next time, Tim. Michael, what's your favourite fruit tree, might I ask?
I don't really care much for fruit, Adam.
Well, you're either with us or against us, Michael. It's one or the other.
No. I'm a vegetable man myself.
Perfectly reasonable, Michael. I know you're a sensible fellow. You've always got something to say. But I've got a good song coming up now. This is Radio Adelaide's Adam.
Festivals are fun, frantic, and fantastically fabulous, but what happens when festivals collide?
And there's so much art, your brain is bleeding. Radio Adelaide to the rescue.
Tune in to the Big F every weekday till March 14. With Kath Keneally, David Jobling and their team of Big Fers. From 3 till 5.30 every weekday, interviews, news, blah, 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 blah. You'll hear it on the Big F.
Despite what Melbourne thinks of itself, Adelaide truly is the cultural capital of Australia, which is why the Adelaide Chamber of Culture is proud to announce a new addition to its festival lineup. If you think the Adelaide Festival of Arts, Fringe Festival, and Festival of Ideas isn't enough, you'll be pleased to know that this year, Adelaide's festival family has a new member, the Adelaide Festival of Qualms. That's right, the Adelaide Festival of Qualms brings to you only the best criticisms, annoyances, and petty complaints from some of the most outspoken elderly citizens from around Australia and the world.
What's wrong with young people today? I think I speak on behalf of everybody. Everybody, when I say that violence in the media is to blame.
It's two jam-packed weeks of free public speaking forums, giving you the unique opportunity to hear dissatisfied senior citizens voice their grievances with society.
There are too many trees nowadays. Well, I say we cut them all down.
The Adelaide Festival of Qualms strives to bring the wisest and most experienced minds together for a fortnight-long celebration of pure dogmatic conjecture.
People aren't having enough children these days, but I don't think women should have paid maternity leave, nor do I support lowering the cost of childcare. Also, Australia should revert back to its original national anthem.
If you've been craving a mental arena for inflexible, senile stubbornness and illogical, bigoted prejudice, come to the Adelaide Festival of Qualms and hear from those who lived it how life used to be so much better.
The music in this radio commercial is too fast!
yes, Auntie Mavis.
The Adelaide Festival of Qualms. Coming soon to Adelaide, the cultural capital of Australia.
Adam. Welcome back, everybody. I've just returned from a quick stop in the lavatory. It's Adam here on Radio Adelaide 101.5. Mike, we've just been talking off air about bicycle ownership. And you mentioned there's a particularly naughty joke that you'd like to share with us. Be warned, there are kiddies listening, so keep it clean.
That's right, Adam. Well, let me relate to you an interesting story, an anecdote, if you will. I heard about a schoolboy and his headmaster. Now, I think the young chap says something like, "Sorry for being late for school," but unfortunately, he's turned up to the wrong classroom. Oh, yeah, he's often tardy. I think that was important. But anyway, naturally the headmaster confiscates his bicycle. He's having none of that, and he says something back. What does he say? I said, I've forgotten what he says, but anyway, this is it. Eventually the headmaster replies, "Not with the Bunsen burner you won't." The full thing's really quite good. Excellent anecdote for dinner parties.
Oh dear, excellent. No, we'll get the full version out to you all on the next month's mail out. We'll also be mailing out the Adam for Canberra promos later in the year, so keep your eyes peeled out for those. Now, speaking of a fella who could also spin a yarn or two, Michael, or not like your good self, this will be a real treat. I thought I'd take a moment to talk about the time I worked with the larger-than-life Hollywood legend Orson Welles.
Now, there's a man who enjoyed his fruit. Ice cream and steaks, pineapples, food in general, really.
That's right, Michael. But here's a lesser-known fact about Orson. Listener, did you know that Orson Welles considered running for president of the United States in 76? You know, after that awful Gerald Ford business. He also wanted Marlon Brando as his running mate.
That's one fat ticket.
Yes, well, I always said that Marlon should consider running, but if nothing else to help his weight problem. But anyway, this tale is more about Orson, so I'll continue. In 76, I travelled through the Americas on a voyage of self-discovery. I was a young man and the like. And, like many young men I associated with, we all had our dark secrets. We needed to get out of the country from time to time and recuperate on a wonderful Atlantic beach and indulge in the forbidden pleasures of Carnivale. Anyway, one day, when I was in San Francisco, actually, purchasing a pineapple from a local fruit merchant, when who should I bump into? None other than Citizen Kane himself. Mr. Wells, of course, had a love of fine pineapples, or I call them fine apples. In fact, I believe he ate one every day as part of his nightly dinner routine. And he had noticed my pineapple against the backdrop of some marvelous painted ladies. And we struck up a conversation. Long story short, he asked me if I'd be interested in privately campaigning for him and Marlon Brando in the forthcoming presidential election. Oh, as independents, I might add.
Wow, Adam, I had no idea Orson Welles ran for president in 1976.
Well, I'm not surprised, Michael, because that's because Orson Welles didn't actually run for president, not then or ever. Yes, there was no White House bid. It was actually all a scam. You see, Orson and Mr. Brando had been quite taken with my chiseled features and golden locks, and they were actually trying to seduce me, you know, engage in some carnal pleasures and the like. You know how lewd those Europeans can be. But of course, as you yourself would know, Michael, I only go for the skinny ones. What about you, listener? Have you ever been lucky enough to spy someone famous in your neck of the woods? Why not call in and tell us all about it? 8303-5000 is the number to call. Who do we have, Michael?
Adam, on line one, we have Charles.
Hello, Charles.
Oh, hi, Adam. I love the show. It's so much better than that, Bow Wow crap that's usually on.
Thanks, Chuck. I can call you Chuck, can't I?
Oh, yeah, you can call me anything you like, Adam.
Outstanding. Do you have a family, Chuck?
Yes.
How's your family, Chuck?
They're all very well, thank you.
So tell us, Chuck, have you ever had an experience with someone famous?
Yes, indeed, Adam. I'm proud to say I was fortunate enough to meet Patrick Stewart.
Oh, really? Fine Shakespearean actor, isn't he? And where was this?
It was 1994, during a Midnight Oil concert.
That's incredible, Charles. Was he friendly? Did you speak to him?
Yes, he was very friendly. We had a wonderful conversation about his work on Star Trek, which is very interesting because I heard he doesn't like to be asked about Star Trek because everybody wants to talk to him about it. Although I must say, he obviously doesn't pay much attention to his work. I knew more about The Next Generation than he did. He's a hell of a singer, though.
Well, how about that? Patrick Stewart on stage and singing at a Midnight Oil concert. I wonder where Peter Garrett was when all of this was happening. Alopecia treatments, perhaps? Well, thanks for your call, Charles. It's best, all the best to you and your family. Michael, who do we have now?
Well, Adam, on line two, we have Cedric Von Carlton.
Welcome, Cedric.
Thank you, Adam. Love the show.
Thanks, Cedric. I must say, your voice sounds very familiar. But anyway, which well-known individual did you meet?
Well, actually, one time I saw the host of Radio Adelaide's breakfast show, Peter Godfrey. He's a great guy and I love his show. Everyone listening should make sure they tune into Radio Adelaide tomorrow morning at 6:30.
Peter Godfrey's? Wait a minute. Is that you, Peter?
Sorry, Adam. I think we seem to have lost Cedric. But on line three, we have Candace.
Ah, yes, I remember Candace from her lovely letters. Hello, Candace.
I love you, Adam.
Thanks, Toots. So, aside from me, obviously, who have you met that's more famous than your lovely self?
Well, one time I saw David Kosh.
Ah, yes, I know Koshy. We studied economics together. Also had a bit of trouble with the publican of a local motel in Warrnambool in 86. Well, then how about that? What did you speak with him?
No, I tried, but he couldn't hear me.
Oh, bad luck. And where did this all take place?
It was in my living room.
Really? You weren't able to speak with him when he was in your home. Well, I must say that's not the David Kosh that I know. Quite a personable chap, really.
Well, Adam, you might be shocked to know it wasn't the first time he completely ignored me.
Oh?
Yeah. He does it every weekday morning for 3 hours.
I see. Well, Candace, all the best to your family. Michael, let's have the next caller, shall we? Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Adam, what the hell are you doing to my show?
Sorry about that, folks. I don't know how these crazy people managed to get through. Michael?
Well, Adam, you wouldn't believe it, but we have another Radio Adelaide personality on the phone.
I know her if it's not that humorless program director again.
Not quite, Adam, but on line 5, we do have the Radio Adelaide dog.
Oh, hello, Adam.
Hello, boy. How's your family?
Oh, they're all right. They've all just gone for a walk around the block, but they're listening to our favourite family friend on their iPods, Radio Adelaide's own Adam, talking on the radio with me. The world-famous Radio Adelaide dog, talking on the radio like some kind of talking dog machine.
Oh, very nice. And I'm a big fan of you too, boy. Let's not forget that. You and your bitches. Oh, very droll. But in all seriousness, I like to think of you as a source of inspiration. If you're ever in need of a bone, you know who to call. So tell us, Radio Adelaide dog, who's someone famous that you've come across?
Well, actually, Adam, it's you, that's who it is.
Well,
it was last Saturday night near a secluded parking lot. Near a secluded parking lot down by the Maslin's New Beach. I could have sworn I saw you and some other shadowy geezer sniffing each other's...
Oh dear, curse these antiquated Radio Adelaide telephones. Although I must say I do like their wood panelling. Reminds me of a peaceful time when children were more interested in tiddlywinks and marbles instead of fizzy drinks and PlayStations. Well, the show must go on, as they say. So right now we're going to hear a special report from acclaimed BBC journalist and also a close friend of mine, Mr. David Legg. You're tuned in to Adam on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM, filling in for Pow Wow with David M. Green. We'll be right back after this short documentary from David Legg.
Adam.
Good evening, I'm David Legg, and welcome to tonight's feature investigative journalistic report. Tonight, we'll be examining the origins and demise of the Prime Ministerhood of former Australian Prime Minister John Howard. After the March 1996 federal election, the term Howard's Battlers emerged to help explain how the Liberal Party, led by John Howard, had apparently attracted substantial voting support from many blue-collar and lower-income white-collar households who traditionally voted for Labour. It was the Liberal Party's then-director and chief campaign strategist, Andrew Robb, who most prominently attributed his party's success to Howard's Battlers when addressing the National Press Club in 1997. However, 11 years and 4 elections later, John Howard eventually lost the 2007 election to fresh-faced Labour leader Kevin Rudd. Henceforth, it is quite obvious that in 2007, John Howard lost support from some traditional Liberal voters. Therefore, if indeed John Howard won government with the help of Howard's Battlers, the reason for his defeat can be bestowed to the lack of support from what turned out to be a crucial section of the electorate, known only as Howard's Butlers. Right now, I'm at the annual Australian Butlers Convention in the nation's capital of Canberra. And no doubt there are many of Howard's butlers present this evening. With me now is Carlton Thistlewood, the chief butler employed by Lady Genevieve Windsor in the affluent Melbourne suburb of South Yarra.
Good evening, Mr. Legg.
Tell me, Carlton, you voted for Kevin Rudd's Labour Party in the 2007 election.
Yes, indeed.
But surely someone in your position, a wealthy butler who wears a tuxedo all day, every day, and earns $80,000 a year, would vote Liberal.
Well, yes, usually that would be the case. But more than anything right now, I really want a faster internet connection. And that was one of Kevin's core election promises.
Hmm, indeed.
So, faster pornography and music piracy for me then.
Joining me now is Winston Jeeves, former personal butler of the late Sir Garfield Ulysses Fruitcup, the former family manor of whom still stands in Sydney's affluent Rose Bay.
Good evening, David.
Good evening to you, Jeeves. Tell us, why did you not support John Howard at the 2007 election?
Well, David, quite simply, Al Gore's film really terrified me, and I felt Mr. Howard wasn't doing enough to combat climate change.
But isn't it usually things like tax cuts, a strong economy, immigration, a tough stance against terrorism, things like that that make you want to vote for the Liberal Party?
Well, David, I'd be lying if I told you I liked Chinese people. But with a high-speed broadband connection, I can download entire televisual series and order everything I need online, therefore never having to leave the house again. So really, why should I care what minorities are flooding our nation's gutter?
An interesting point, Jeeves. Finally, I'm joined now by Nicholas Godfrey, a freelance butler who has butled for many of the world's rich and famous, including William Shatner, amongst others. Nicholas?
That would be me.
Now, tell us, Godfrey, why did you vote for Kevin Rudd?
I didn't actually vote for anyone in the last election.
Oh, and why is that?
Well, there's a couple of reasons, actually. I'm legally of unsound mind. I've been recently convicted of high treason, and I haven't received a pardon yet. I'm not enrolled, and, well, needless to say, I have some minor objections to Australia's current political system.
But you would classify yourself as one of Howard's butlers?
Yeah, of course. For several months I was employed by Kirribilli House.
Ah, well, close enough. And there you have it. A stunning expose into the cruelly ironic demise of Prime Minister John Howard at the will of his cadre of socially conscious, card-carrying, union member household servants. I guess it seems...
Hey, David Legg, who are you talking to?
Who the... Oh, it's you. Please excuse me, Mr. Godfrey, I'm recording something for a radio documentary.
Oh, sorry.
And so it would seem that...
Goodbye, Mr. Legg.
Yes, thank you, Nick. I guess it seems that, like all unsolved mysterious tales of political intrigue, the butler did it.
Oh, come on. That sucks, David. Write some better jokes.
So until next time, I'm David Legg. Good night.
Yes, I know all too well the sting of Howard's butlers. A decent butler is far too dear these days, if you ask me. I've had to put all six of mine on individual contracts just to keep them all. Rightio, comrades. Stay tuned for more Adam with me, Adam, here talking on Radio Adelaide on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Up next, we're going to be talking with Colin Silverman, but right now, let's have a listen to this.
Adam.
Alright, this is Radio Adam Laid, 101.5 FM. Since you're not usually with us, Michael, I was wondering if... Well, you're a bit of a whiz around the house, and I was wondering, how would I go about removing lipstick from black leather?
Oh, look, that is very easy, Adam. All you have to do is you mix one part almond oil with two parts bleach, then you dilute with four parts of water, and you wipe it down with a pair of old pantyhose.
Okay, that sounds like it would work. Here's another one. How would I go about getting text off the wall? Sometimes those little tackers make the whole thing a big mess, don't they?
Oh, they sure do, Adam. But this is another easy one. What you do, just add a bit of petroleum to eucalyptus oil. Then you shake it counterclockwise. Remember, counterclockwise. Just a little bit. And wipe it down with a pair of old pantyhose.
You're always on the mark, Michael. Of course, listener, my name is Adam, and I'm filling in for David M. Green's Summer Powwow with a special edition of my own show, Adam. Well, joining me now for a bit of powwow of our own is a strapping young chap by the name of Colin Silverman. Welcome, Colin. Now, I understand that you are some kind of zombie. Is that right? Are you also a fan of Rob Zombie?
Brains.
Oh, is that right? Well, I must say, I was a fan of Lamb's Brains in my younger days, that is. You can't seem to be able to buy Lamb's Brains very easily anymore these days, can you, Michael?
I don't think so, Adam, but I'm not much of a brain guy.
You don't say.
I just like to eat my vegetables.
Well, good for you, Michael. Maybe one day you'll grow up big and strong. Of course, I like them skinny, but you'll be big and strong.
Brains.
Ah, yes. Thank you, Colin. You reminded me of something I was going to say. Wasn't it the Native Americans who believed that by eating the brains of an animal, you could gain their wisdom? No, that's all right. It's not a well-known fact. What about you, listener? Do you know anything, well, any interesting facts about brains? Or maybe you'd like to talk to Colin. About something else? No topics are off limits. It's after 11:30, all right?
Oh, Adam, the phones are running hot.
Hot like a cracked pavement beneath a sun-scorched sky?
Well, we have 5 people on the line, if that answers your question.
Yes, okay, Colin. Let's go to line 1. Hello, caller.
Oh, yes. Hello, Adam. I love the show.
Oh, you're so kind. What's your name?
My name is not important. I was just wondering if... Yes, hello. My name is William.
Good to talk to you, William. And do you have a question for Colin Silverman?
In fact, I do. Yes, hello, Colin. I was just wondering if you had a favorite 80s hardcore band.
Brains.
Ah, yes, Bad Brains. Very popular with the young people, I've heard. Good choice, Colin. Michael, who do we have next?
On line 2, we have Randall Gustafson.
Hello, Randall. How's the family?
Hi, Adam. Love the show. My family's well. They're all listening tonight.
Good to hear, good to hear. And what's your question?
Oh, well, I was just wondering. A friend of mine is a big fan of stand-up comedy, and I was looking to purchasing some Bill Cosby albums for him for his birthday next week. I was just wondering if there was a particular famous routine I should look for when I'm at the record shop.
Brains.
Ah, yes, his popular brain damage routine. Another good choice, Colin. You're quite in touch, aren't you? Let's have another caller. Hello, you're live on Adam.
Yeah, hi, Adam. It's Tim Ray here. I was just wondering if I'd left my keys in the studio.
No, sorry, Tim. I certainly haven't seen them. All the best, Tim.
Actually, I'm locked out of my house.
Michael, who's on line 4?
Well, Adam, on line 4, we have Gerald Cosgrove.
Gerald, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. It's great to be here.
Yes, and what is your question there, Gerald?
I was just interested to know if Colin had a favourite Warner Brothers cartoon character.
Brains.
Really, Colin? Well, I must say I'm more of a Pinky fan myself. Such a funny little mouse. Michael, I think we have time for one more caller.
Well, Adam, lastly, we have Ricardo Bronstein, and he's on line 5.
Hello, Ricardo.
Hello, Adam.
And what is your question for our special guest, Colin Silverman?
Well, I know this must sound silly, but my memory isn't what it used to be. I was talking with my wife, about the classic Judy Garland film, The Wizard of Oz. And for the life of me, I can't seem to remember what the Scarecrow wanted from the wizard. Colin, do you know?
Courage?
No, Colin, I'm sorry, Ricardo. I'm pretty sure the Scarecrow was after a heart, and indeed an entire circulatory and digestive system. Thank you, Ricardo, and thank you, Colin. All the best to you and your family. Oh, dear. I think I see David M. Green coming along. Oh. Subscriber caller. Subscribe to Radio Adelaide on 228.0733. I'd better get out of here. Thanks for your company on this special impromptu edition of Adam. Until next time, I'm Adam. And thank you, as always, to Mr. Michael Princey on the panel.
Oh, Adam, it's an honour and a privilege to be your first mate.
Absolutely sensational. Yes, here's one last cool, refreshing, smooth tune for the road. So long, listener. I'm Adam. And this was Adam.
Powwow on
Radio Adelaide 101.5. I wish you weren't. I wish you were listening to my show, but I don't think it's on now. They keep moving it. Sorry.
Yes. Hello, I'm David M. Green. My apologies for being so late. Who would have thought Adelaide actually has a terrible public transport system? This is Powwow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. With me in the studio is Michael Princey is here.
Yes, I've been manning the poop deck in your absence.
Hello, that... Right? I'm assuming that's a reference to something that was on the show when I wasn't here. Nick Godfrey is here.
Hello, Mr. Green.
Hello, Nick Godfrey. Matty B is here.
Yeah?
Hello. Smitty! Smitty is out of his coma and he is in the studio. Hello, Smitty.
Hello.
Right, and Tim Ray is here as well. Voiceovers Tim Ray.
Yes, thank you. I've had to take refuge in a shipping container on North Terrace. Can you pass me my keys, please, to get back into my house?
Oh, these?
Yes.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, well, this is, of course, the final talk break on the final episode of David M. Green's Summer Power, so I won't get another opportunity to tell you about my website, which is davidmgreen.com. For the love of God, it is not davidgreen.com. That is a porn site. So if you have enjoyed any portion of this show or any of the shows that have aired, you can go to davidmgreen.com and get the podcast. Here's an idea. Put them on your iPod. Or better yet, if you're a fan of the Grand Theft Auto series of video games, why not import the podcast into the custom radio station channel and laugh hysterically as you run over pedestrians and decapitate pimps in a bathtub? When you're thinking about decapitating pimps in a bathtub, think davidmgreen.com. It is also the place to go to find out what I am up to. Believe it or not, I do other things apart from this show. Listen out for Roy Lama. Roy Lama's regular appearance on the evening show with Peter Gers on ABC 891 AM Adelaide, ABC Adelaide, every second Thursday at 8:15 PM. All the details, obviously, on my website. Also, our internet TV show Fruit Cup is about to debut with the first two 10-minute episodes available to view online for free, very soon. It is all detailed on www.davidmgreen.com. You can also send me an email to tell me how much you liked and or disliked the show. Radio Adelaide is, of course, a community station, and there's no ratings or anything like that. And so the only way we find out what you, the listener, thinks is if you contact us directly, and more than often it's a complaint, but that's not to say we don't enjoy reading them. Of course, because this is the last show, there are some people I would like to thank. Obviously, all the people in this room and all of my guests over the summer. Especially, special thanks to Michael Princey, Nick Godfrey, Nathan Sharrod, voiceovers Tim Ray, and why the hell not, Adam Navarro, for the ghost of which is still in the studio. Thanks for filling in or whatever you did. They all contributed a lot of their own time over the summer for no money or anything like that.
Special thanks also to little Lisa Pellegrino for providing virtually all the female voices in all of our sketches.
I'm your number one fan, David.
Thank you, Lisa. And Smitty as well. Good to see you're back on your feet again. Thank you for providing the driving tips. Also, Richard Marslin and Pete Smith for agreeing to be interviewed. And of course, I know we joked about it a lot over the summer, but I would like to thank Radio Adelaide Station Management for approving the show. Reluctantly, I wanted to call it David M. Green's Summer Powwow. They wanted to call it The Comedy Show, and thank God we were at least able to call it Powwow. So that's a little victory for me, I suppose. And lastly, thank you to you, the listener. You're the real hero. Up next on Radio Adelaide, it is Black Market Radio, punk, hardcore, and apparently a zombie. But until next time, I am David M. Green, and this has been Powwow on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM, summer 2007-08 season of radio. Remember, davidmgreen.com. Thank you all once again. Good night. And by the way, the M was for Michael.
Show. No more radio for me. Well, I guess I can finally get back to my one true passion, drinking Dr. Pepper, sitting in a booth, eating a turkey sub with cranberry sauce, and listening to 80s new wave records, alone in the dark. What the? Oh, not again. David M. Green. What on earth? David, don't be afraid. I'm you, 10 years in the future.
What?
Oh, come on. What do you want? I'm trying to listen to Spandau Ballet here. You've got to come back with me.
Where?
Back to Radio Adelaide.
Oh, come on, man. I've just spent the last 13 weeks there. I fixed the comedy problem. Don't you remember, Powwow?
Oh, no. It's not Radio Adelaide that's the problem. It's the internet. Something's got to be done about the internet.
Really? But the internet's the way of the future. What's the problem?
I'll explain on the way. Come on, hop into the time machine.
So, future David M. Green, what's life like a decade from now? Let's just say that where you're going, you don't need radio. Also, why is former Prime Minister Paul Keating in the back seat? Oh, well, he just wanted to see John Howard lose the 2007 election again. It's on the way, you know. Right. So, Paul, how's life?
This is the sweetest victory of all.
How'd I know you were going to say that? Okay, past David M. Green, hold on to your 1964 haircut. Wait, you haven't told me what's wrong with the internet in the future yet.
It's a fool's paradise, David.
Oh, fantastic. And it's up to me to fix it. Well, that's just great. All I wanted to do was listen to my obscure 80s new wave music, and now I'm being dragged away off into the future to save the world from some
Will
sort
you
of thing.
Shut up!
Here, we can listen to a Huey Lewis cassette if you like.
Oh, yeah, right.
Ace.
This is a recession that Australia had to have.
you know, we're certainly not an anti-comedy brigade.